Hey friends, and welcome back to another episode of A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary folks living revolutionary lives. I'm Kevin. I'm thrilled to have you here. We already had another episode come out earlier today. You already know that I'm doing the special series with Beloved Arise to promote the album called Serenade. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to the last two episodes. There are two exclusive tracks available for listen right now on the Tiny Revolution podcast feed. I'm not going to lie to y'all right now. I'm a little stressed. I have a lot on my plate right now. I've said yes to a lot of things, but it really feels kind of good. I got a lot of clarity this weekend as I sat on the beach and did nothing, is that I'm not a capitalist. I'm also not a machine. And if things are going to be late, then things are going to be late, because you know why? It's still a motherfucking pandemic out here, you know? I had this realization with my therapist where she said, Kevin, you need to recognize that we all have a decreased capacity for everything. A decreased capacity for like being able to go out, a decreased capacity for like trying to make shit happen the way we used to, like in the capitalist world. And now that we've had this opportunity, or like really just like the world made us shut down and slow down, at least for me, I'm recognizing that I'm not at, you know, all cylinders firing like I was before. In fact, maybe I was never meant to be firing on all of those cylinders. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I was always meant to move from a place of rest and enjoy my day, to like be ambitious, but also at the same time recognize I have limitations. Am I going to sacrifice anything? Like, why would I give up feeling good? I've only got this one life. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, like, you know, if I'm feeling good at someone else's expense, like, and I know that, that's not what I'm going for. But I do believe that there's a way to have pleasure at no one's expense, a way to experience goodness and love and power in a way that goes beyond what we've been handed. Ugh, now I'm starting to preach. This is what happens when I, like, you know, get out of my head finally. Anyways, if you want to know more about thoughts like that, you can actually go hang out with me and my friends on Patreon. I post a lot of extra stuff over there. Tarot card readings, extra meditations, weekly meditations, actually. And there's more content than ever that's going to be coming out as the coven is lifting off the ground. And if you're listening to this today on Tuesday, June 1st, I'm actually extending the coven registration till the end of the day. So click the link in the bio, join up and whatnot. Today on the podcast, I'm really, really excited to share with you a conversation with a new internet friend / real life friend who I made recently. His name is Brian Falduto. And let me tell you what, here's the thing. You've met him before, because at age 11, he was cast alongside Jack Black in the Paramount Pictures film School of Rock as Billy, aka Fancy Pants, the one who said, "You're tacky and I hate you," which every one of us was like, holy shit, it's me. Brian is, since reemerging as an artist, and he'll get into why, like, you know, he kind of disappeared after that a little bit, he's had some amazing opportunities to share his life story openly and honestly through public speaking engagements and podcasts, etc., some self-authored pieces, media interviews, and most notably, a viral video with Now This News. In 2018, Pride Life magazine named Brian as 20 of the most influential, outspoken, and optimistic individuals on the planet, which, holy shit, they're not wrong. He's actually so lovely. In addition to his work as a country music artist, because queer country music is a thing, you hoes, Brian also works as a life coach, serving primarily LGBTQ+ folks. In 2020, Brian launched the Gay Life Coach podcast, the Gay Men's Self-Help Book Club, and the Gay Men's Mindfulness Collective as part of his continual efforts to create mindful conversations and content surrounding the effects of internalized and externalized homophobia, patriarchy, and all that other bullshit, and how one might heal from those experiences through expanded awareness and deeper connection with oneself. Brian and I feel like, are cut from a very, very similar cloth. I love getting to know him. And he's also launching a new collective, which he's going to talk about later. And you can also find out on his website, which is brianfalduto.com. Again, all that shit is in the links and whatnot. So, yeah, I've got nothing else to say about this. Grab yourself something to drink. Grab yourself something enjoyable. You know, also, like, take a deep breath. Ooh. Ooh, doesn't that feel better? Don't you feel better? Anyways, let's get into it. This is my conversation with my friend, Brian Falduto. ASMR, this episode is just going to be the sound of me and Brian breathing as we look deeply. I'll stop.
No, I'm excited though, because I feel like we've been talking about doing this for what feels like years. So great.
I know. It's been a minute and I'm finally glad to make connection. Where are you in the world?
I'm in Brooklyn. Where are you?
Atlanta, Georgia. Don't mind that little message coming up on the screen. It's like you're... I just figured out how to use my DSLR camera as like my Zoom cam. So like now I'm real fancy in a podcasty.
Wow. Very nice. Do you need me to record on my end at all?
No, we're good.
Okay, cool. I'm in Brooklyn. I literally right before I came on with you, I just got approved for an apartment that is not this apartment.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's so weird moving, right? As soon as you get approved, you're like, do I actually want to move?
Oh, dude, I moved three times in 2020. Yeah. Cause like I had to get out of my apartment cause I finished my seminary degree. And then I moved into my friend's apartment that I was subletting for the summer. And then I had to move into this house that I presently now live in.
Yeah.
And it's the best. I love being a homeowner. We didn't think we would be that domestic, but here we are.
There you are.
Yeah.
Cool. So, that you went to seminary.
Yeah, I had a really fun time with it. I started off as an MDiv, and then only by an accident was I able to finish in 2 years when I switched my program to MAPT because I just so happened to take the right course as my first year. Mm. Grace of God, you know, that's what they say.
God is good.
All the time, hallelujah. Anyways, so let's talk about you for a second in your life. If, you know, let's imagine 3 months from now, the world is open, people are vaccinated, we're at some cute little thing, you know, little kickback, and someone comes up to you and says, hey, what do you do? What's your thing? Like, how do you introduce yourself?
Oh, well, I hate that question. So first I'm
sorry. Just like, no. Don't talk to me.
The what do you do question. It's tough. I struggle with it every year at the holidays because I'm a multi-hyphenate creative, right? And how do you summarize that to like a lawyer, right?
Whenever people ask me what I do, I'm just like, I'm a mental health professional. I'm a preacher.
I usually say that I'm a life coach because that is, I guess, the most credited, consistent form of income, you know, because I'm a certified life coach and I have a practice, and so that is just one of. I'm also a songwriter. I'm an actor. I'm just a creator in general. I'm currently working on a kid's book, so really,
dude.
Whatever. And I'm just a human trying to navigate this this complicated, crazy life.
Mm-hmm. And you've got similar backgrounds faith wise I think,
Christian and gay.
Oh yeah.
cool, yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry, I thought that was just like clear from my branding that says like my religious upbringing affected me.
Sure. No, I mean, yes, me as well.
Where'd you grow up?
Jersey, dirty Jersey.
What was your family like?
They were good. When I was younger, I was in a movie. And my parents were stage parents, and then they instantly switched from being stage parents to being against me performing after the movie.
Damn.
Because the movie was like, you know, a bit of a tumultuous experience all in all. But and so they always wanted what best for me, but it quickly became what's best for me was very much about blending in, fitting in, doing the safe thing, doing the right thing. And so I love them to death, but we just have, you know, my relationships to time, energy, money, safety, happiness are very different than theirs. Oh my God, a dog.
Oh yeah. Do you want to see? Tippy, come here.
Come
Come here.
Sir, you want to come here? Come here. Say hello.
Oh my goodness, hello.
This is Tippy. Tippy, do you see? Can you say hi?
What are Tippy's pronouns?
I think typically she, her. But she's like, you know, she's like, my body is a woman, but my gender is an alien.
Yeah. She doesn't understand why she's being forced into this scenario.
No, but she does. I think she likes being held like this because she's just like, oh yeah, this is what I wanted the whole time. Go away now.
But yes, no, I'm from Jersey. Whenever I start my my concerts, I always say I'm a gay country singer from Jersey. It's a thing.
That is also, I live for gay country writers and singers because, A, I think we write the best country music and the best folk music, hands down.
Well, there's country music is all about storytelling, and there's so many untold stories within the LGBTQ community, you know? Mm-hmm. It's an untapped market.
It really is, and especially if the writing is good, and it usually is.
Yeah.
So tell me about, when did you get into life coaching? And like, when you say life coaching, what do you mean?
Yeah, I'm a mindfulness coach. I use the practice of mindfulness to help people sort of build an awareness around thoughts, patterns of behaviors, emotions, sensations, feelings. Recognize which of all those things work for you, which of them don't work for you, and create some clarity going forward so that you can build the life that feels most you. The reason I did that is I mentioned the movie I was in when I was younger. In case people don't know, I was in School of Rock when I was younger.
Classic.
I was the gay kid from School of Rock, which they keep calling me about 18 years later now. But being the gay kid from School of Rock was not easy back in 2003 when I was 11. And so to quickly summarize the story, I spent like 14 years in the closet, came out, had like a really tough time first out of the closet, a lot of toxic relationships, a lot of self-sabotaging behavior. Early enough and often enough that I was like, so how does one become happy? Because I've never really experienced that. And
damn.
I started to ask myself the questions like that sort of like gets you on that path towards what I like to call optional contentment, right? Because there's no thing as like blanket happiness. But I think once you have an improved relationship with yourself and once you just enter that healing, vulnerable, authentic space where you are showing up more often as yourself, you're not the victim anymore all the time, you know? You're not just constantly like...
Yeah.
And I didn't know about any of that stuff. So part of the reason I became a life coach is out of frustration that like no one was ever like, here's some resources you can check out, or here's a way to feel better, or to... and so I became so passionate once I found it that I was like, I feel like... called to tell other people about this or to explore it with them, you know? Mm-hmm. That was a long answer, but I had to summarize like 18 years, so.
Yeah, and I also like, I prefer a long answer to a short answer, so please don't ever feel bad about giving me the whole answer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I overtalk and I also have ADHD, so like my mind will go in like a zillion different directions. What was the thing that you were most frustrated with? That no one was teaching, that you felt was like, okay, if people just got this, it might fix a lot of their issues.
I think the most powerful thing that we can teach people is presence. And I know that's out there in a lot of like sources like yoga or like a self-help book, right? But I think that like cultivating actual consciousness where you're where you're watching yourself in action. You know, something I've been really into is this motto I sort of came up with lately that's like, I am not a person who's on a podcast right now. I am the awareness of the person who is on the podcast right now. Like I have a call after this. I am not Mm-hmm. And I'm a little stressed about it because it's like right after this, right? But I am not a person who is stressed. I'm a person mm-hmm. who is aware mm-hmm. that I have stress about yeah. the phone call. You know what I mean? And I it's think
like, yeah.
I'm the aware, just the very fact that I'm able to be aware of the stress means that I mm-hmm. am not the stress. You know, it's I am the awareness of it. And I think that it's a little trippy to think about, but the more often you're able to step back into that objective,
the seat of the witness, maybe.
Yeah, the seat of the witness. Everything becomes a little more. It's powerful. It gives you options. You know, it gives you selectivity.
That's it. That's the thing. Is I think a lot of folks, like especially because when you're queer and you come from, if you come from Christianity or anything like in Western, it's very binary. It's always black or white. There is a right way and a wrong way to do and to be in the world, and as a result, we're constantly just like, we don't have time to slow down. Like, you know, we're not taught to access. Don't worry, I'm still here. My camera just went off. See, I gotta fix those settings. Anyways, that's the thing I wish I was taught when I was younger, is that like there is just because like, cause I would remember like when I started getting panic attacks in college, I just didn't know what was going on. Like, I was in it. I was it. Like, and I think that's what's really interesting now is like when I feel anxiety come up in my body now, it's like, oh, it's like, I can like feel it. I'm like, I notice it.
And well, when it's you start, just another wave. It's just another wave of experience passing through you, just like the joy, just like the laughter. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we want to attach to a lot of the negative stuff because of fear and because mm-hmm. of protective tendencies. You know, it's, yeah, I'm totally with you.
And also, you want to know something funny? It's technically, it's also biological. Because mm-hmm. like the amygdala, which is in charge of, you know, fight or flight and all that other shit.
Yeah.
It has to keep track of the negative experiences in order to keep itself safe. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, when a negative something comes up, the amygdala, the mind itself, just clings to it. Mm-hmm. And in order to change that pattern, we actually have to hold a good feeling, a good thought, a different idea in our head for like 15 seconds so the neural pathways can start to change, which is what meditation, mantra, mindfulness
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Which is fucking wild to me.
No,
in the best way.
And I actually wrote a whole piece for The Advocate about like the mm-hmm. the brain's tendency to live in that fight or flight response. And I sort of related it to the queer experience, how mm-hmm. we come out of the closet, but we spent our whole lives in fight or flight mode, right? And then we come out of the closet and all of a sudden we're proud, but we haven't lost all of our fight or flight tendencies. So I think mm-hmm. that's where a lot of like the toxicity that people are often complaining about within gay culture, I think that that's, we're all mm-hmm. still in this like hyper like reactive state mm-hmm. almost, right? And we're not really doing that pause where we actually just spend time with ourselves, which we've never done mm-hmm. before, you know?
Dude, that's it. Especially like, that was certainly my experience coming out. I came out when I was 24. Yeah, 24 going on 25. And it was just like the pendulum, you know, like everybody just kind of swung. And wanting to go, it's like, you know, I was trying to catch up on experiencing life because I thought that I had missed out. And then as a result, I get there and like thinking that all these people here have it figured out more than I do. Mm-hmm. And then you realize like, oh, these are all dumbasses like me.
Yeah. And the thing I'm passionate about is you hear a lot of like older gay guys talk about how they know this now, right? But
oh my God.
But the thing I'm passionate about is moving that bookmark back. Like, I think that us gay guys in our 20s, why aren't we talking about it more? Like, let's have this conversation mm-hmm. earlier. The groundwork is there. I think what's really cool is the generation behind my generation is right out the gate, like questioning constructs and asking mm-hmm. how authentically can I show up in this world, which is like a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've been getting to do as a coach a lot lately is work with kids.
No way.
Yeah, I have a couple of kids clients, which is like kind of a new lane for me, but.
Yeah, tell me more because I have, and because I'm thinking, I'm just like, yo, like, because the only way I've been working with youth is like when I'm like volunteering with Beloved Arise.
Which we love.
Yes. Anyways, keep going. Tell me more.
Yeah, and it's so cool to be able to just like introduce some of this language into the mind of a 10-year-old. Or I'm working with this 16-year-old, and I can relate, because as cliche as these sayings are, no one ever stops to ask you like, well, how did you feel about that? Or how did you, the experience that you're having is really valid. Is there a way that we can like process that emotion in a way that like serves you? It's like really, it's almost like jaw dropping for the kids too, because all you have to do is like ask one question. And sometimes I'm shocked. I'm like, I can't believe how much this reverberated. And then I remember like I never paused and did that sort of analytical thinking about everything that was going on in my life. I just thought that I had to be okay, right?
Yeah, it was very, like, I think it's like the general, like I was talking with one of my friends. My grandfather passed last month, and at the funeral, like during the eulogy, like there was all of these incredible stories about like shit he did. Like apparently like he was like a tech genius and like helped link up all of the GPS systems for all of the airports in the Northeast. He also helped broadcast the first live musical ever, Peter Pan, from New York City.
No, stop it. I'm a fan.
Yeah. And I'm like, why am I learning about this when he's like, his ashes are right there in that thing? I'm like, why am I learning this now? There's like, they had a generation of like, this is a generation that we don't talk about anything, not even our good things.
Yeah.
And then our parents' generation is just like, we're fine. We're doing good. We're doing better. We're always getting better. Everything's getting better all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's that like addiction to progress that kind of like landed a lot of us millennials in trouble.
Yeah,
you know what
and
I'm saying?
And progress is so non-linear, right? So it's like,
yeah, because really, no, progress for them was linear. Progress was get more wealth,
yeah.
And like, you know, and your wealth and your capital is going to equal your happiness. And then like I grew up like upper middle class, and then I became dirt poor after I got out of college. So it was like, nope. Oopsie. Yeah. I was happiest when I was like real ass. Like I was happier living in a shit basement apartment as an openly queer person with no money than I ever did when I was a missionary or someone working in ministry.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you bring that up, because, you know, I just mentioned before I got on this podcast that I got approved for an apartment today, right?
But like, yes! Sorry that I yelled that.
No, it's fine. But it's like, with this whole apartment searching, it's like, sure, I'm allowed to like want a different space and a nicer space, but like how much of that is like, how much of my happiness is like gonna be quote unquote dependent on that, just so I can show up and then find a new thing to be unhappy about, right? Like what is, and it's just, it's difficult to know, like, you know, and people think that I'm sometimes when I have these conversations, because I'm a coach, like I have it figured out, right? But I like, I always say that like, I have nothing figured out. No one is healed. I think that there are people who are doing the very brave and scary work of healing. And then there are people who are either avoiding that or haven't entered that space because they don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I'm just someone who's so passionate about the healing work that I decided to kind of like make it my thing. And I'm super empathetic. So coaching is just an outlet for me to sort of like connect with people on that level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. That is the same. Also, like I echo the sentiment of like coaches, we do not have it figured out. I just see myself as just like a little ways down the road, you know, I've got a few ideas and they work for me and you can try them and they probably will work for you because they're pretty simple.
It's also like a craft, you know, it's like,
yeah,
even if you're on a different road, which I've encountered a few times, getting understanding that road and then being able to walk with that client on that road, and it's a skill set, you know, and it's, I get super psyched about trying to hone that, you know, like trying to like get in there with them. I consider it a privilege. I think it's really exciting, you know.
I do, because that's exactly what I feel on my end doing. That is really fucking dope. So tell me about your music and all the things that you've been doing with that, because especially like, you know, the music industry has shifted dramatically even since like since we were kids. Because I'm only 31, so like we're practically same age bracket.
Yeah.
But just like I remember, like I don't know if you ever had access to Napster or the back in the day when we like I allegedly pirated things. Maybe.
I was the uncool kid who was still purchasing everything on iTunes for like 99 cents and putting them onto my iPod Classic.
Yes. Oh man. Did you also listen to podcasts on your pod? What is iPod?
I didn't listen to podcasts back then. I wasn't like that wasn't my thing yet. But I now host a podcast called The Gay Life Coach Podcast, which people can go listen to.
I'll ask you about that next.
Okay, cool.
I just want everybody to get like the, what is it? The sampler platter of your life. I want all the things.
The appetizer sampler from Applebee's. It's my
Let me tell you what. Okay, real quick. What's your favorite chain restaurant?
Applebee's.
For real?
Yeah, I'm from not busy.
Oh, okay. Because Applebee's is my least favorite. I'm a Ruby Tuesday. I like a Ruby Tuesdays, or I want to go to a Chili's in an airport.
I worked at a Chili's for 2 years.
How was that experience? And did you love the Chipotle Chicken Crispers more than life itself?
No, I ate so much chips and salsa those 2 years, man.
Yes. Damn. Now I want to go. Now I want. Listen, when we're in the same town, let's go to Chili's
just so I can give you the insider experience.
Yeah, unironically, because I'm a sicko like that. Anyways, your music.
Yes. Well, you mentioned Beloved Arise.
Yes.
Did you know that they chose my song God Loves Me Too as their theme song this past year?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Which I thought was really cool. I released a song this past year via music video called God Loves Me Too. It's this song about me growing up gay in church. I'm really proud of the video. Outside of that, yes, I call my music gay country music. I'm currently working on an album that will be called Gay Country.
Hell yeah. That's not going to make any waves. It's not going to piss anybody off. Why has it got to be gay?
I'm so excited because I'm also sick of having to explain what gay country music is now. So now I won't have to. I'll just be like, here's the album.
Just like, this is exact. Listen, also, if you, me and Grace Baldridge and Joy Oladokun, we're all talk. Like, I'm just like, when the world opens up, we need to go on the big gay Christian cover band tour.
Yeah.
And just get together with our, like, the old youth group kids who are.
Grace and I are doing a co-write in next week, I believe.
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Listen, I love that our world it's a pretty small pond.
Yeah.
And I think that now that we're all growing up, like we're realizing, oh, we were just really, really, really tiny little minnows. And now that we're like, you know, full ass amphibians.
Yeah. Especially the queer, like, Christian movement because for example when I released God Loves Me Too, I had never released none of my songs are really about religion. All of my songs are just my stories, right? And this religion was right hand in hand with my story, you know. I just had a very religious upbringing, and so to not write this song felt it just very naturally came out of me after an affirming queer religious experience that I had. And then
do you remember when that was?
Yeah, it was in 2018 at the Hollywood United Methodist Church. I hadn't been to church in a very long time since coming out, and it was just sort of my way of that church was eye-opening about the true definition of love on a level where it doesn't need to be earned or you know, just an unconditional love that I had never heard about when I was growing up in church. And so I wanted to write a song about it, and I did, and it's called God Loves Me Too. And when I released the song, I was like, well, this isn't really my lane, right? Like, my music has never really been this specific of a message before. And so I spent a whole year doing things like talking to you and talking to Grace and talking to the people at Beloved Arise and doing my best to kind of like understand what was already happening within this movement, because I didn't want to just like release this song and not really understand what was already going on. And I discovered, yeah, I discovered this beautiful community of people who are really actively trying to get that message of like unconditional love and acceptance out to like queer youth of faith. And I think it's so cool. And what's crazy again is that I didn't know about all that growing up, right? So
because what they teach us is that if you walk away from God, quote unquote God, and for them God equals the church, big C church, if you walk away from that, outside of us is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outside of these walls is something dangerous, and you're gonna end up in hell. So like, of course we never thought to look.
Yeah.
Like I didn't Google the words gay and Christian together until like, you know, until like a year before I was coming out, because it just, again, impossibility.
Yeah. And it is crazy how everyone sort of knows each other. Because once I started these conversations, they were like, oh, you should talk to this person. I was like, oh my God, I just talked to them yesterday. So it is a small little community of people pushing forward this really, really important messaging. And then other than that, yeah, I'm just, the album that I'm working on right now is exciting for me because it's all bops. My music's usually a teensy bit more introspective, but this is all just like really fun songs I've had at the back of my mind for a while that people can put on at the gay country rodeo and do some lawn dancing to.
Dude, okay, so real to the tea to the talk, things that I am planning on. I want to do queer camp for adults.
Okay.
And I'm just like, queer line dancing, absolutely you can come and teach that with your, like, I don't know how to line dance. In fact, it gives me a little bit of a cringy feel, but
we'll do an easy one.
Okay, I am open. I'm open to learning. I'm open to new experiences. I'm a brave woman. Yeah. Those are my affirmations for myself.
I am woman, hear me roar.
That's exactly, I want to do it, a country line dance to that song to start.
Okay, great.
Got it, perfect.
Yeah.
Tell me, specifically, you said I didn't hear that message of God's like love growing up. What was the message you heard growing up?
You know what? I've said this before. I was always annoyed because no one would say anything. It was always like, I feel like I grew up during a time where they wouldn't. There was this rumor that being gay was wrong and a sin, right? But the church,
yeah.
But every Sunday I would show up and I would be like, okay, well, this is the Sunday where they're going to talk about it finally so that I can learn whether I'm allowed to be gay or not, right? And every Sunday I would show up and no mention of gay people every Sunday. And I was just like, why am I hearing this rumor like online? But why are they not talking about it? And it was almost like, I was like, at least address it. Right. And, you know, they don't want to lose members, you know.
They don't want to lose those couple members who have, like, their, you know, gay cousin who they love. Yeah. And they also don't want to say that they're affirming, because if they do, they're going to lose their members who have money.
Yeah. And it's really cowardly, in my opinion.
Yes. No, it's not. That's, like, not even in your opinion. That is just the definition of cowardice.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, I mean, they, like, and that's why in my song, you know, I have a line, and I consider myself a pretty clever songwriter, but I have a line in the song that says, it is true, God loves you, even if you're LGBTQ. And I was like, well, that rhymes a little too perfectly. I'm sure I can find a more clever way of saying this. And then I was like, actually, no, I don't think we need to beat around the bush anymore. I think that the song needs the line to be this way exactly, so that if anyone's confused about what I'm saying, I don't want that to be the case. I want it to be a very clear message of acceptance and love, you know, because when I sat down in that church, the Hollywood United Methodist Church, and the pastor was wearing like a rainbow stole and there was a gay couple holding hands. I remember that first time I went to the church, I just sat down and I cried for the entire service.
Yeah.
I never thought I would find something like that. And then I went home and I wrote the song because I was like, there's a kid out there that doesn't know that this is going to be an option for them one day. They think that they still need to change. And that's not cool, you know?
Yeah. Because I remember, like, growing up, I mean, I think a lot of us kids, like, were either, like, super devout. Like, we wanted to know, like, what does God really think about this thing? Because A, our eternal soul's up for, but also just, like, I think queer kids and queer folk in general are just, you know, this is my, I don't have a metric or any way of proving this, but I feel like there is some kind of deeper spiritual connection that we just inherently have, or just like a curiosity, because we already know that we don't fit neatly into these boxes. I'm just like, what else doesn't fit neatly into this box?
Yeah. So wait, were you able to find like a queer affirming seminary?
Oh yeah. So when I went to seminary, I went to Columbia Theological Seminary. It's a PCUSA seminary.
Cool.
And so by the time I'd come, I started, I just graduated last May. So just 2 years before that, 2018. That's when I started my program, and PCUSA has been affirming for a long while. Like, they're getting better, because I feel like a lot of the Christian denominations who became affirming early on did so in policy, but maybe not in practice. Mm-hmm. Understanding, oh yeah, we love gay people, but there's also not a lot we're doing in order to like fight against injustice or fight against bad theology, or even to like center queer or marginalized voices. Because again, that conversation wasn't happening in 1980s or 1990s, not as frequently at least. Mm-hmm. Not within mainstream or mainline Christian denominations. And I go to a church right now, and technically we're Baptists.
Okay.
You know, it says Baptists on the sign, and sometimes we joke that we don't.
Baptist light.
We would change the name, we just don't have the money, you know, to change the sign. It's a lot of money to change the sign.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can probably obviously speak to this better.
Sure.
You went to seminary, but. Like, for example, with, like, the Pope statement a couple of weeks ago, right? I'm just, like, the first thing that I think of is just, like, so much unnecessary pain and suffering, right? Because mm-hmm. even with the possible mistranslation of the Bible, you mentioned the kids growing up, like, wondering what God thinks about this, right? There's no mm-hmm. actual way to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like we're choosing... At this point, because like we're choosing to cause pain and suffering, because at this point we know that sexuality can't be changed. Like mm-hmm. most people are at least on that page, you know? And it's like, why would, you know, it doesn't make sense to me anymore. If there's so much gray area, why are we still treating it as black and white?
Yeah. I think it doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense when like from like a logical perspective, and any logical person, I think, well, let me not say that. That's logic is a moving target sometimes. Yeah. I think for many of us, it makes sense that way. And for the Pope and for the Catholic Church, for all these things, it is wrapped up in power. Yeah. It is wrapped up in an ancient tradition of like, what would happen if this thing, this giant thing that, you know, makes up like, you know, one of the biggest world religions, what happens if that is now fallible?
Right. You know, what if we were wrong? And then what else are we wrong about? Yeah, I guess.
Ding, 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 motherfucker. And that's it. That is and that's the same reason the Pope won't even consider conversations around priests getting married. Mm. You know, but what's really annoying about the Pope's statement, I think, is because he had done, basically he was like queer baiting all of us, like saying like, he's like, oh yeah, who am I to judge? You know, the church loves gay people and all, you are welcome no matter what. And then you go and make the statement saying, no, we cannot honor sin because same, it's like.
Yeah, I know. I felt like I was getting ghosted on an app or something. Maybe he has experience with that.
Listen, we wouldn't be surprised. They're covering up. They cover up so much in that church. Listen. Oh, and that's the other thing too, is like, this is what you're going to talk about, but you guys are also not nearly addressing the scandal of abuse that has happened across the globe.
Yeah.
I
did love all the queer memes about it that are just like, huh?
That was yeah. And so I kind of like it when I look at things like that, I see exactly how it plays out. I understand why. And it is power. It's money. It's, it's white supremacy and colonialism. It's to the nth degree now. So like in the Americas, you know, evangelicalism has its roots in slaveholding. And that's the reason the evangelical denomination was formed in the first place, was to justify slavery. And so it's like, oh, well, no wonder they're having a hard time incorporating women. They couldn't even get on board with, like, black people. Right. So yeah. It's a truly sickening in the worst way. And I think that's the thing that I do not understand is when we tell them, you're harming us, you're harming kids, like, that's the thing. Yeah. Children's. Like, you know, yes, it's harmful for adults as well. But I'm just like,
yeah.
These teens, these kids, you,
yeah.
Do you have no soul?
Reverting back to my parents really quickly.
Bring it.
They, my mom, so proud of her. In the past, first of all, she catered the entire film music video day for God Love.
Mom, thanks.
And she for like there was like 100 people on set. And she, you know, she left her church to go to an LGBTQ affirming church, one that we thought was LGBTQ affirming. Apparently it's not very LGBTQ affirming. And so now she's transitioning again, but she had a moment of hesitation before leaving again. And I was like, Mom, I know you're on my side. Like, if you feel as though this church is serving your spiritual journey right now, I don't personally need you to walk away from it. But I do want you to think that the service you were just listening to, because she did listen to a very homophobic service that I listened to online, mm-hmm. Which kind of was like, oh, maybe I'm not in the right place. And I was like, the service that you listened to, there's a younger version of me somewhere in that congregation likely, and they heard the same messaging, and they're gonna see you show up again next Sunday as if everything's okay. You know, so like, I don't need you to, but this is an opportunity for maybe you to like think about some kid in the church somewhere, you know?
Yeah. And that I think is really, oh man, that's I think where like I need my mom to get it, because my mom loves her to pieces, but sometimes she just doesn't get it. And that was like a really clear thing. I'm like, Mom, the reason I don't want to go to our cousin's church, the reason is because like they're not affirming.
Yeah.
And like if I wanted my cousin to marry me and whoever I'm going to get married to in the future, if I get married, you know, marriage is a sham. What? Just kidding. I'm not bitter or cynical about dating at all right now. It's just hard. But like, it's really, I think sometimes it's just like, well, why wouldn't you want to come? Like, you know, oh, they don't really mean it. I'm like, or it's just like, it just because it's an out of sight, out of mind thing for you doesn't mean that it doesn't
that it's not
stab me in the fucking heart, dude.
Or some kid that can't even speak for himself yet, you know?
Yeah. There's some little queer kid in that auditorium, some teen there who's like on the verge. Yeah. And that's going to be like, that's the thing about like, we like, and I'm sure you experience a multitude of hate comments and like bullshit comments on shit because the internet's a horrible place. not all the time. But I always think like, if this were like somebody else, like if they commented this on some other, like some kid's profile, they might go off themselves. And I'm like, in some ways, like, I'm thankful that you, like, you're putting this on me and not somebody else because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you're lucky I have a good head on my shoulders.
Yeah. Because otherwise you would be responsible for another death.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's really what it comes down to for me. Like, I would like to keep queer people alive. That's the only thing I care about.
Yeah. Alive and thriving, to push it a little further.
I mean, yes, of course, obviously. But like when people like, you know, like they want to like get to the brass tacks, like, what are you about? I'm just like, I'm here for one mother thing, motherfucker. I like to try to act hard. But I'm
most softy.
It's the Scorpio nature, you know.
Okay. Well,
it's
like Pisces. I think we're the softest. I don't know.
I'm Pisces rising, so.
Oh, okay.
So you know? Do you know your other one? Do you know your moon?
I know. I'm at the cusp. I've been told.
Was that?
I'm like right after Aquarius. I'm very early on in the Pisces.
So Aquarius and Pisces,
yeah.
Cusp.
Yeah.
Listen, just send me your birth time and where you were born, and we'll do your whole chart. It'll be fun.
I love doing my human design chart.
No, your astrological chart.
Okay, I recently sent my friend my birthday, and they did my human design chart.
Someone told me about that too, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds fun.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. And I definitely, all these things when I get told them, I'm like, I don't not believe it. I'm like, mm-hmm. and I love that you're telling me this about myself. Mm-hmm.
It's just not your thing.
I'm honestly just lazy.
I don't think it's laziness. I think that it's, you know, I think tools like astrology, tarot, Enneagram, any sort of like system of working with your shadow and getting to know yourself. The question is always for me, like, what is helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when you're thinking, like when you're working with folks and you're like saying, okay, like if someone says, all right, what's the one thing if I could do one thing today to start changing my life, what's that thing you start people with?
Well, I think some of one of the greatest things people can remind themselves of each day is that there's no right way to do today because it's never happened before.
Hmm.
Which I think usually can like probably create some freedom right off the bat, right? Like how often are we just living in in the shoulda, coulda, woulda of our day, right? When it's literally always a fresh moment, you know?
Hmm. Yeah. What do you know for certain, if anything?
What do I know for certain?
If anything.
I think that not knowing is knowing.
Say more.
I think that the more I can be open to and question, everything is, as I said before, I'm just the awareness. All of my thoughts are recycled. Everyone's had them before. You know, I've had them before. Every stressful thought is definitely recycled. And so the more that I can like examine these things and look at them objectively, the more I realize that I don't actually know anything, which frees me up to the present moment and what I could learn, you know? I don't even remember what the original question is. I get really trippy with this stuff, but
no, it's just like, what do you know for certain, if anything?
Yeah,
you said not knowing is knowing.
I know that I'm good. I know that I have like a basic goodness about me, and my goal is to just continually tap into that and try and unlock it as much as I can so that I can like continue offering it to other people and recognizing their goodness. And yeah, I've been lucky. There's this quote I saw on Instagram. It was like, once you've seen beyond the ego, there's no going back.
Yep.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm not always beyond the ego, but I've been there a couple of times, and I just...
That's the thing. Again, once you've tasted... It's like when you have tasted milk and honey, baby. You know, when your feet have felt the promised land, and you keep going back, it's just like, this is fun, but it's just not as good.
Yeah.
It's very annoying. But
and then being compassionate to that whole human experience too, right? Mm-hmm. Being annoyed by the human experience isn't going to get you past the ego any faster than
yeah. It's so like the thing I tell my folks that I work with is like the answer I'm going to tell you for everything is compassion.
Yeah, compassion.
You feel good about it. Great.
Acceptance.
Yeah. It's just like this shit happened. You happened. You are happening. So what?
It sounds like there's a lot of like Buddhist principles in your work as well. How does that relate into your Christian undertaking as like the role you have in that lane? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I look for wisdom wherever I can get it. And I'm not really shy. Like even though I got a degree from a Christian seminary, like my work, I tell people, I'm like, I don't call myself a Christian anymore because I don't know what it means to be a Christian.
Sure, yeah.
Like if some people, I think like what I grew up in was evangelicalism, and I don't want that. I don't think that's good for the earth or for any human. Mm-hmm. And so I call myself, I don't like saying a Jesus follower because what does it mean to follow Jesus? You know, what does it mean to follow anybody who's been dead for 2,000 years? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I call myself a witch sometimes because it's very clearly like, what do you do? I dance naked in the moonlight if I can, you know?
As often as possible.
Yes. And it's like, you know, I am somebody who's sovereign over myself. I blend spirituality together. I've read a whole lot. And I think a lot of what, I've read a lot about meditation from like Thich Nhat Hanh and Pema Chodron and these just lovely Buddhist theological voices whose worldview differs so greatly from a lot of the Christian voices that I grew up reading, especially like things from like the classics like Augustine and Tertullian and like, you know, all that shit that I read when I was younger and through school. Because I think that they offer just a more holistic, like, it offers a, once I see, like, once I started reading, like, you know, the Buddha was talking about the middle path, I was like, oh my goodness, this makes sense. He was talking about emptiness as form and form is emptiness. I'm just like, listen, if you, like, the person who seeks to save their life is going to lose it. And I'm like, And so for me, it's like, I started seeing almost like, the ways and like the words of Jesus in this magnified way. And what's interesting is that the more I study all these different religions and the more I even do like witchy practices, is I still come back to Jesus. He's still my teacher in whatever way that one can be a teacher. And so that's how it works with me, is like I am unabashedly someone who likes and follows Jesus. I read the Bible. I wouldn't call myself a Christian, but I think my role in this world right now is to help walk people from one understanding of the Christ into a new one that is a lot more embodied, that actually like is a practical and makes sense. So I use a lot of Christian imagery. I have a lot of Christian, yeah, I work mostly, like, all of my clients are post-evangelicals or ex-Christians of some kind. And so I use that language because, A, it can undo a lot of triggers. And our world, our Western world is soaked in Christianity.
Yeah.
It's the language, whether or not we know it, we know it.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's a really helpful metaphor. Because it's already there. I don't have to teach anybody. Because like, you try to go in and teach somebody about Kali, they don't have the background to know about Kali. That doesn't make any sense to them. They're all monotheists.
Kali flower?
No, Kali as in like the goddess from the Hindu tradition, right, who comes in. Part of the feminine threefold godhead. She comes to destroy the world and cleanse it with fire. And birth.
I almost got a cat recently and I almost named it Kali, but I didn't get it. So.
Oh, well, that cat might be destroyer of worlds. Listen.
But no, yeah, I mean, everything you were sharing kind of reminded me of this this thing I sort of tapped into later. Like lately, when I was younger, I would pray.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a feeling you get when you pray or when you're listening to worship music and singing along. And you're like, oh, God does exist. This feeling that I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Is proof, right? Like there's something I'm enveloped in something, right? What I've discovered in my olden age is that I get that same feeling when I meditate and when I get
ding ding ding,
yeah.
It's presence. So, it's like you said in the beginning, it's presence.
Yeah
And I was like,
cool.
That's exactly it. The first time, because like I got, someone did an energy healing session with me early on when I was first coming out. And I was like still fundamentalist in every way, except for like, it's cool to be gay, but like maybe women can't be pastors. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she did this session with me and it was the same thing. I was like, I know the presence. I know what, you know, quote unquote, Holy Ghost feel like, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And so I chose in that moment to start believing it again. And I think a lot of people, they start experiencing spirit, God, presence, and all these other places that are outside of their Christian norms. And they don't trust it at first because it's like, it could be the devil deceiving me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can trust your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
They know.
Yeah. Cool.
Mm. I like you. You want to be friends?
Yeah, I thought we were. Was this my audition? Did I pass?
I mean, I always ask because I never want to assume anything.
An official invite. Yes, I accept your invitation to friendship.
Oh my God, man. Before we hang up and, you know, we'll do the credits thing. Tell humans where they can find your work, where they can engage with your stuff, where they can stream your music video, where they can send you money. What's your Cash App?
Oh my gosh. I think your listeners would love God Loves Me Too. They should check it out. It's on YouTube. It won an award.
Bam, bam, bam.
So I'm very happy with it. And then I'm on Instagram, Brian Falduto. Falduto.
Falduto.
Or if you want a little bit more of a coaching presence, you can follow The Gay Life Coach. And yeah, if you're listening to this and you identify as a gay man, you should also come join the Gay Men's Mindfulness Collective on Facebook. I think I mentioned earlier on in the conversation that one of my passions is bringing that conversation in a more accessible way to gay guys. And so that's a space for that. There's a bunch of events and programming and ways to connect with like-minded men who are in that healing space. So by all means, come do that. And I think that's I have the podcast. So many things.
Listen, plug it all. Plug everything.
The Gay Life Coach podcast. It's just me talking to other LGBTQ storytellers about their mindfulness journey. And that's really, that is officially it.
I love it. I really think you're really cool. I think I'm really glad that we got to actually talk and like, it's really wild. Cause like,
you were like, I'm pretty sure I thought you were not cool.
Listen, here's the deal. Like whenever you meet somebody from the internet, it's always a toss up. Yeah. Thankfully, all the times that I've talked to humans, I've enjoyed it for the most part. There was only like one interview that I did where I was like, I don't think I'm going to use this.
I've luckily not had any of those yet. But it is a fear because you are, you know, I scope it out as much as possible. But, you know, there's also, you don't know who you're going to be talking
to. Sometimes people are just not good at talking. Sure. And yeah. Or like their interview is just like boring as shit. I'm just like, I'm not going to share this. Like if I have to pull teeth to get you to talk about you on a thing that's devoted to talking about you, get out of town, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But of course some people, anyways, let me just hit stop because we've obviously concluded. That was my conversation with Brian Falduto. If you want to follow this beautiful human, please go to his Instagram. It's at Brian Falduto, and all of his stuff is at brianfalduto.com. If you want to get involved with some of his work, maybe he's the life coach for you. You know, maybe he's like, I bring a lot of my coach friends on here in an effort to show that, like, you know, maybe if it's not working with me, maybe there's somebody out there who fits you. And I know it sounds very, very strange, maybe for some of us to like be investing in coaching or in these new programs. Because here's the deal, you don't technically need anything in order to get closer to God. You don't need these extra programs. But let me tell you what, the healing is accelerated if you are having someone show you how to do it. It really does help having a community of people around you and somebody who is giving you kind of like the pleasure of going second. So if you're interested in things like that, you can look into Brian's work. You can look at Coach Yama's work. You can look into places like the Christian Closet. You can look into my work. My friend Kelsey Bircher is a really great person to look into. Jamie Lee Finch, who is a friend of the show. There are so many avenues for your healing that are available to you. So, and a lot of them are a lot more affordable than you can think. All of my clients are on a payment plan. I'm not fucking joking. There are very few of my clients who pay up front for my services. So don't think that asking for a payment plan or needing to negotiate prices in order to get your needs met. Ask for what you need. The most somebody can say is, no, I can't do that, but let me refer you to something that can get you in a direction that you need. I'm just so passionate about us getting healed. This is why I'm starting the coven. This is why I am going on tour. This is why I am ready for the spiritual revolution. Come on, somebody. Is anybody out there listening? Ugh. Woo. All right. That's it. Brian, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're an amazing human. Thanks for coming on the show.
If you want to connect with me, please go to thekevingarcia.com. Grab my book. It's called Bad Theology Kills: Undoing Toxic Belief and Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. It's available at badtheologykills.com. Ships worldwide. I've also got some really cute Pride merch that's on sale right now. It's at the website. Additionally, you can go check out... please go check out my podcast, my other podcast. It's called Your Fit... Additionally, if you wouldn't mind, go check out my other podcast. It's called Your Favorite Aunt with my friend Sarah Heath, where we answer questions, talk about current events, and check out all the rest of the podcasts on the Irreverent Media Group, including Dirty Rotten Church Kids, Go Home Bible, You're Drunk. All that's at irreverent_FM on social media and irreverent.fm on your browser. If you like the show, patreon.com/thekevingarcia is the place to get more like it. Podcast extras, meditations, early access to tickets. And please rate the show, subscribe, and share it with a friend. I think that's the whole kit and caboodle that we're supposed to say at the end of a podcast, right? That's it. I love you. You're beautiful. And that's for sure. Until next time, please take your meds, call your person, shake your ass a little bit, eat something delicious, and then talk to somebody that maybe you've been afraid to talk to. I recently did that. We just needed to reconnect and share some hard feelings. And eventually there was a beautiful reconciliation. So if you're able to, you know, step five in the 12-step program says that we should make amends when we can, as long as it doesn't harm you or the other person. So I love you. That's my little, the nugget closing out this podcast. I'm Kevin. I'll talk to you next week. Bye, babes.